Guys, how are you? Yesterday, I went to a writer's festival, which was very fun. I went to a couple panels. I learned so much more than I thought I would. Guess I'm stupider than I thought, huh? No, really? I had lots of fun. And especially a panel that I liked had some authors that talked about setting and character, and I learned a lot from them and took lots of notes, so I wanted to share what I learned with you guys. To, because I know some of you will be interested, and also because this will be a great way for me to review my notes as well. So I'm gonna split this video into things I learned about setting, character, and then just also random writing advice. So the panelists that I saw were Jackie Bateman, who talked about the second book, Savor, in her series. Also, there was Alexander Baldassare, who talked about his first novel, The Ugly, which I really want to read. That book looks so good. And Lawrence Verajin talked about his series. So let's peek through my notes, shall we? Alrighty, first I learned about micro settings. Now, this is basically a setting within a setting. And Jackie Bateman talked about this. She talked about how you don't need a bunch of description, you don't need to go overboard on the description to still give people a feel for your setting. You can just point out a few important details that have significant, weight. And they will invoke emotions in your story. Jackie also said about setting that jail never gets old. If you need a place to set your characters, put them in jail. And when she said this, I immediately thought of Prison Break. Something about setting and character both that they said was that some readers need more description than others, which I found really insightful. That like some readers are fine if you just tell them, oh, there's a table with a vase on it, and they can just picture a room. But other readers need more description than that, so it's hard to find the balance between that. So when you're trying to decide between having a lot of description and having minimal description, something that can help is to show the scene from one person's point of view, because they're not gonna need to notice everything, because our brains ignore the things we're used to, things you don't need immediately. But that will help you find more focus. And you should interject detail about the setting with some more of like the character's thoughts, other things. That way your chapter is not so heavy on just description, 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 because that can get boring. Alexander Baldassare read from some of his book, and he discussed that he used minimal description except where there was a lot of conflict between his protagonist and the environment, because in that case, he needed more description to sort of show that conflict. But other than that, he prioritized doing a lot with minimal description, which I thought was very interesting and smart. Also, I found it fascinating that he was focused on nouns rather than adjectives. So, like for example, the scene that he reads is about his character who goes into a bathroom, and he uses nouns to make the reader feel cold by like talking about the tiles and mirrors. And then later, like very soon, you find out that the character is naked. But before that, you're already cold with his use of nouns, which I found brilliant. Also, he said that he used mirror 3 times in one passage because mirrors bounce off each other. So the reason that he used mirror a lot of times is to parallel the bouncing off of reflections, which when I heard that, I was like bowing down because I thought that was genius, just genius. Oh my gosh. Also, he used the word mirror because some of the characters around the protagonist were Harvard law students who cared a lot about their appearance. But one of the primary things that settings can do, of course, is to set the mood of your book. Alex did say, and I know this, not to use a lot of metaphors and similes, because we're used to like using similes and metaphors if you're like writing in school for essays, but if you're writing a novel, using too many of those can sort of get away from what you're actually describing. And about setting, Lawrence Verajin said that you shouldn't make a laundry list of descriptions. So like if your character walks into a room, you don't need to go through every object in the room and describe it by making like a list, because that is not a good description. You can break expectations to make your story stand out, like especially like setting expectations. Like for example, Lawrence was reading from his book and it's set in like a seedy club, but there's some woman there who's holding a jar of pickles, and the pickles sort of stand out, but they also make the place more real, because even though it's like not what you'd expect in a club, it sort of makes it feel more real because it's less of a cliche. Also, I like that Lawrence foreshadowed the environmental corruption that would happen later in his book, like at the very beginning of his book. I thought that was very smart to foreshadow something that would happen later at the very beginning. And moving on to character, Jackie Bateman. Can I just call her Jackie? Jackie talked about how it's not just about the support, the main character. It's not just about the protagonist. It's also about the supporting characters and the antagonist, because the supporting characters give influence and create tension with the protagonist. So it's important to have characters that you know why they're there, that have a purpose in the story, and that are well-rounded. Jackie talked about this triangle that she imagines of characters. So at the top there's a protagonist, then there's the antagonist who is against the protagonist, and then there is the impact character. The impact character isn't the antagonist necessarily, but they have a force against the protagonist, and they're role in the story can start off small, but then it can have a larger role later on. Besides the triangle coming off the protagonist, there's also the sidekick character who makes the protagonist like feel good, and then there's also the skeptic character who tells the protagonist that they can't do something, who's questioning the protagonist. Your supporting cast and other characters are just as important, arguably, as your protagonist. You have to think about why they're there. Are they there for emotional reasons, for helping reasons, helping the protagonist, or are they there to hinder the protagonist and give them some sort of struggle? Alexander Baldassare, Alex, said that he thinks about setting, character, and plot, that there are different legs that work together. So I love the passage that he read from his book, because he talked about how, like, just your setting isn't just your setting. It can also give you hints about the plot, foreshadowing. It can also talk, like, give you, it can also tell about your character. So Alex believes that, like, all those three things should work in tandem and they shouldn't be separated. There should be, like, this flow between the protagonist and the environment. And Alex talked about how tension between his characters is what really drove his plot. His book, The Ugly, is about, like, tensions and clashes on every level. And he really likes to defy expectations by, like, so having one setting where it's Harvard, but it's in a toilet in Harvard. So, you're sort of flipping what people expect when you say Harvard. As for characters, your characters need to have resolve. They need to have something that they want, and they'll either change what they want or change themselves to get what they want, or they'll just work really hard to get what they want. Lawrence also reminded me that people have things that they repeat all the time, like words that they repeat in their daily lives, and you can use that for each of your characters to make them sound different. And this also grounds the reader. Like, if your character says, yeah, over and over again, like, not too much, but then it sort of grounds your reader and, like, oh yeah, this is who this is. Lawrence also said, don't describe the character all at once. Do it as you go. Because I think we have all read some bad fan fiction. They just give a character description and then start the plot. Don't do that. Unless you want to be experimental and you're doing something cool. Obviously, you can break all the rules if you're trying something cool and new. And finally, part three, general writing tips. I really liked that they said that your first draft is just you telling yourself the story. Because I feel like when you're writing a first draft, at least for me, I'm always thinking about the audience and, like, oh, I need to edit this. But they said to just finish your first draft because it's gonna suck and it's gonna take a lot of revisions, but it's like that for everyone. And as long as you just have to finish your first draft, that way at least you know the story. Alex also, like, his book is quite experimental and he talked about breaking the rules. Like, sometimes you hear writing tips, I mean, everyone hears writing tips, but they say to, like, be specific. Don't just say, oh, there was a tree, say there was, like, a 500-year-old sycamore or something like that. But he likes to break the rules. For example, in his book, he says that one character says, yeah, yeah, in the same way that a character does from a popular TV show. But in the book, they never actually say the name of the TV show because the protagonist doesn't know that TV show because they're not from America. But Alex said that in his head he was thinking about Friends, the show, but he never actually said that in his book, which goes against the be specific idea. So he likes to break the rules, which I found really cool. They say you gotta know the rules so that you can break them. So by making this ambiguity, the reader feels sort of in the side character's head because they do say that it's from a popular TV show, but not entirely because they don't say the name of the TV show. I thought it was really funny when Alex said that for The Ugly, he didn't have an outline. He just took characters and settings and smashed them together and ended up seeing what happened. And I really like that concept, actually. I think that's a great way if you're stuck on what to write about, take a character, take a setting, bam. But Alex did say that for his second book, he is writing an outline because it took him 16 years to write The Ugly without an outline, so try to outline if you can, guys. Lauren said that you need to create momentum in chapter one. You need to get the reader swept into the story. Too much description can slow down the pace, but not enough description and your reader is left clueless, so gotta balance that. Something really simple that I like that the writer said, and I didn't even take notes on this, but they said that for them, like, writing, they said that writing is hard and it takes a long time. And I felt really comforted hearing that because sometimes you think, oh, it's just me that is so stuck and confused and doesn't know anything. But they talked about how they had to learn writing and how it's a hard process and some things that they wouldn't do. Like, for example, Jackie said she would not want to write a trilogy next because it takes a lot of work and it's very hard to get, like, the second book really good, especially. Because the first book, you're, like, really excited, and the third book, it's, like, the grand finale. But the second book, you gotta, like, reference the past book, but while still making its own book, and also allude to the third book without giving too much away. And at the same time, each book has to stand alone. So they talked about running trilogies is very hard. So I felt comforted hearing that, you know, writing is hard, and it's not just me that thinks that. And again, Alex said he likes descriptions that do multiple things at once. So you can describe a room that, like, tells it from your character's point of view, makes the reader feel cold, creates some sort of tension all at once, which is hard to do, but very good and potent and effectful, and has that much more impact on the reader when you do it. So after hearing all this, like, I've been reading The Miseducation of Cameron Post. It is by Emily M. Danforth. It's such a good book. But while reading it, I've been, like, thinking about, as the characters are talking, I've been looking at what's happening as they're talking. Like, for example, characters are talking and there's, like, an ant moving on the sidewalk. And I've been thinking about how that parallels the situation and what the characters are saying. Because if a writer is a good writer, they will not have things happen on random. You know, they won't have characters talking and then have, like, an ant moving on the ground and getting, like, blocked by their feet for no good reason. It'll serve multiple purposes. So I've been thinking about that and reading more carefully and thinking about why the writer chose to include that there at the same time as this. One thing that I really liked that Jackie said just in general about writing was to write what people actually do. Like, you can, I feel like I have a tendency to, like, try to go fancy and think of, like, complex, interesting plots and quirky characters, but Jackie said you should write what people actually do. Like, even murders, she says, will sometimes help old ladies cross the road, which is true. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed hearing all of what I learned because I found it so fascinating. Let me know what your favorite writing tip, because I'm sure everyone would love to hear it. I think it's great that when writers support each other. I think you should definitely check out all those three authors' books. I know I will be. Also, I got a free edition of Geist from the festival, which is a magazine, a writing magazine. I can't believe I got it for free. Normally it's $8, but hello. I actually really love this magazine. It's, like, full of poems and stories and articles. My favorite article that I actually wanted to share with you guys was this one by Terrence Burns called South of Buck Creek. It's a photo essay filled with photos of when he went to the what was surveyed to be the unhappiest town in America, known as Springfield, Ohio. He shared stories from the poor community and the people that live there. And I really, really like this article. So if you guys can get a hand on it, do. One that I'll share with you, actually, is this one. It's about a photo. So basically, he shares, like, a photo and then a story about the person in the photo. Okay, this one is called Teria, 1966. The first day I visited Main Street, I met a young girl wearing cat's eye glasses, a pleated wool skirt, and an impeccably ironed white blouse. She held the hand of a younger boy, her brother, who was impatient to get going. When I asked permission to take her picture, she seemed not to understand what I wanted, much less why. For a moment, in her confusion, she released the little boy's hand and grasped her own wrist. And then there's more, but then there's also this photo. And I thought this was such a, like, telling photo with a lot of symbolism. I just thought this was beautiful. And when I saw that photo, I read the entire photo essay. Because it's truly so good. And I can't believe I got this free free edition of a magazine. Oh my gosh. I had so much fun at a writer's festival. Let me know if you guys have ever been to one. Thanks for watching, guys. Be sure to subscribe because I make a new video 2 times a week. And I will see you next time.